The Tall, Tan, Talented Temptations kick off our Motown Monday Tech Talk Tips in style. I'm ready. Are you? Let's get the show started. Have you caught up with all the weekend banner in our episode section? Call in with any questions or comments you might have. We're looking forward to hearing from you. This is your Tech Talk Tip for Motown Monday, 11/27/17. I hope you had a fabulous weekend. We had some great excitement here on Anchor, and it raises the question, what do you do when the norm is abnormal in any type of technology? You know, expectations are interesting, and I always say, don't expect anything to happen, and you'll never be disappointed, right? So, you come into an app, you notice things that are different than they were the day before or even minutes before, and you wonder, what do you do? It doesn't just happen with apps. It happens with technology in general. You boot your computer. It's abnormal. It doesn't work the way it did before. How do you react? Who do you go to? Who do you ask? What do? You always need to have a plan B, because rather than, you know, raise your blood pressure, rather than get excited, rather than get, you know, antsy, you need to have an answer as to what you would do in the event something doesn't work the way you expect. Obviously, if you're using a computer for business and the computer doesn't work, you need to have a plan wherein, what do you do when your computer stops working? What do you do when an app stops working? What do you do when an app stops working the way you expect it to? It may not fail completely, but you go to a particular page, you're looking for something, it's not there, or it doesn't look the same. Who do you ask? Does the app have a help desk? Does the app have some place that maybe might be supported by others that might know? Do you have a communication conduit to get to the right folks? You need to put these things in place and have them stored offline, not on your computer. You need to know who to call. You need to know what phone numbers to reach out to. You need to know what URLs to go to on another computer. You need to have all your usernames and passwords handy. You need to have that information, because being reliant on a standard doesn't always pay off in the best way possible. In terms of an app like Anchor, you have a number of resources. Number one, you have support.anchor.fm. That is a website that allows you to visit and get answers to many questions. It also allows you to post if you have concerns. In addition to support.anchor.fm, there's the email address, support@anchor.fm, where you can send in queries, requests, informational requests, things of that side, administrative requests, things that you may be having specific personal challenges with that you don't want to post publicly. There's also Twitter for emergency type situations. You can DM the Anchor On Call tech support and send them a DM at ANCHOR for Twitter, at Anchor, right? You don't want to abuse that particular channel, because that's kind of like dialing 911 when you don't have an emergency. You don't want to tie up the lines with mundane questions. And of course, there's always the support that Anchor members offer. You know about my website, Anchor's a Wave on Facebook. You know about my personal website, Ask AVIE. You can reach out to me there, www.askavi.com. And most recently, the most fabulous site that we have ever offered, the ability to get answers to a number of pressing questions about Anchor and learning how to use Anchor. Dr. Dan Davidson, my friend and cohort, Ms. Eileen, Queen Eileen, I call her. We have no relationship, but I always affectionately call her my girlfriend, because I think she is awesome and she offers up some incredible tech talk tips and offers up great video and training and has been in the business for a long time. So I really support her. And in addition, I'm there to help support you as well. And we've put together the anchorbootcamps.com. Check that out. You'll find incredible value there. And join the compendium Facebook group, Anchor Bootcamps. It's unbelievable. It posts and references. So if you have questions today, hit me up. Love to help you anytime. This has been your TikTok tip for Motown Monday. Let's listen to some Motown.
Hey, Avi, it's Sheena Diane. What is going on? It is almost crunch time here for the top 10 or top 20, and you're not even in it. Like, what happened? You were way up there, and I couldn't even find you on the listing for tech when you go to search. Like, what happened? And Kevin's not in number one spot anymore, and the Crazy Asian's not in number two. And, I mean, Lulu is now in number one, which Lulu is awesome. But if anyone deserves it, it's definitely KT. He put so much work into it. So I'm kind of sad that he's not in the top. And I couldn't find you in the top. And then it's like shooting around. All of a sudden, I went from being in the top 100, I think I was like 41, to like dropping off the charts completely. And then now I'm back up to like 50. And then my husband went up to like 19. It's really crazy. What is going on? What's going on with Anchor?
Sheena, it's a ball of confusion. That's what it is. Isn't it cool to see your name up in the top featured stations, right? In the leaderboard? Isn't it cool? Doesn't your husband feel good about that? Everybody wants to have their 15 minutes of fame, don't they? I think it's important to gain exposure. Now, why is it scrambling like this? Well, the Anchor team is playing with the algorithm, and they're giving all types of options to that leaderboard. They've expanded it from 20 to 50. They are showing people in and out. Anchor has the ability to control who appears in the leaderboard. Okay? And as a result of the contest, they didn't want to, you know, reveal their hand at the last minute and show everybody perhaps who may have won or may didn't win. Okay? So they're not going to announce that likely till later today, maybe this evening. And as a result, if the leaderboard remained consistent and it showed who the top three were, then everybody would know, right? So there's a likelihood that they're doing like a, do you have a state lottery? The balls go in the bucket and they get spun around and the numbers come out. That's what's going on right now. People are getting scrambled in. There are stations that aren't even eligible to show up in the list right now. They've been taken out so that they're showing basically off air at this point so that they would not qualify to fit in. And Anchor has the ability to do this. They control who appears. They often curate who appears in the leaderboard as a result of who they would prefer to feature or not feature. Okay? So this is all a system that we just need to, you know, inspect and tolerate. But I would suggest take advantage of the people that are appearing because you may not know that their stations even exist. And it's my premise that everyone should qualify for leaderboard status to the extent that they need to be recognized. Many stations are hidden from view all the time. The search criteria is limited here on Anchor currently, so you can't even find people that are talking about topics that you might be interested in. Having the opportunity to see stations in a listing that's random, okay, is helpful. And why not? You know, we have the ability to favorite stations that we like. We have the ability to still use the magnifying glass to search for stations that may be missing from action, and you can find where they are. You have the ability to search on a of your favorites who has broadcasted recently. So if you have a station that's not appearing in the list, you look in your favorites and you see the last time they broadcast, you will find that you can find the people you're looking for right now. It just takes a little extra effort. Okay, if you're used to going to the leaderboard by clicking on your home icon and that little chart in the upper right corner, that may be confusing for you right now. That's why I led off today's show with the Tech Talk tip about what do you do when the norm isn't norm, okay? It's abnormal, right? So that's what we're living with right now. And I'm certain that eventually it will return to a different state. May not be what you expected, but it's going to be different. And things you need to understand as technology grows, expands, and modifies to fit the possible expectations and goals of a particular app, you will see changes occur. And as those changes occur, they might not be favorable with everyone. And that's okay. Eventually, they work out to be favored by somebody. It may not be any of the users. It may be strictly be favored by the developers. But with regard to popularity, who knows? Let's see what happens. And it's interesting in terms of the outcome. But very observant on your part. You noticed that you could scramble that leaderboard and it'll change almost on the fly for you as of last night. Anyway, it is now early morning on Monday, 11:27, is it? Yes. And you called in the evening of 11:26. So I didn't publish your call until now. So for those that are confused, it may be different when you hear this, but that's okay. At this point in time, things were different. Hope you have a great day. Sheena, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Avi. Thank you so much for kind of trying to explain that. It is very difficult to understand what's going on. And to be honest, before the contest, I never even really paid attention to the leaderboard. So, I was just really disappointed because I thought my boy Kevin was going to win it. He may still have. And actually, the way that you explained it kind of made it a little bit more understandable. I don't know if I agree with what they're doing, but it would make sense to scramble it all up so that we wouldn't just know who won. Because a lot of those stations that are up in the top right now, as of this morning, it's 10:30. I've never even heard of them. But as you were saying, it does kind of give me a reason to click on them and listen to their content, which I normally would not have. So that is a good point. Thank you, Avi.
Avi, Gator Johnny here. What's up, bro? I am so glad the contest is over because I think everyone got a little too into the leaderboard. Now, for someone like Kevin, the Midas Touch, I get it. You know, he is the top guy. He deserves to be recognized as such. It's validation, and it's always a good thing. You know, it's always cool, and I get it. But for everyone else, like, we didn't come on here originally for a leaderboard to be ranked number one in the top 20 or even for $1,000. Most of us came on here because we have something to say. We have a message to share. We have stuff we want to tell people, entertain them, educate them, motivate them, inspire them, whatever. We can still do that. That hasn't changed. So, yeah, I think as long as we focus on why we're here, any validation that we get is extra. You know, not necessary, but extra. But anyway, like I said, thanks for that broadcast. I think it cleared up a lot of things for a lot of people.
This is a Tech Talk Tip Test in Progress, and I am doing an experiment. My experiment is expanding upon the concept of deleting segments from your current station and going into the episode area, because my theory is that as long as you have segments in your archive and you don't delete them from your current station, that removing them from your episodes will have absolutely no impact on your archive. It's only when you delete the segments from your current station that they get removed from your archive. But I want to do that test, and I'm using this particular segment as an experiment because I am now going to do a manual archive of my station, making sure that this segment goes into my archive. I'm then going to produce an episode. It's going to be a temporary episode. I'm not going to even allow it to go out to my RSS feed because I'm going to delete it after I create it. And when I do that, I want to observe the behavior of the segment, whether it affects anything whatsoever other than the episode. What do you think? Put your comments in here, and then I'm going to get back to you, let you know exactly what happens. And if your comments disappear, you'll know the answer in advance. Be right back at you very soon. The test was absolutely successful, and my theory holds true. If you have a segment that you archive and you add it to an episode, as long as you don't delete it from your current station, it will remain in your current station, and if it's now archived, it remains in your archive. It only removes it from your episode and would then take it out of your RSS feed if you delete it after it gets to the RSS feed. Otherwise, you're good to go. So don't be concerned about editing, because you can't edit a episode once you create it. You only can delete it, but you'll have to reproduce it. Now, how do you reproduce an episode? You reproduce an episode by re-echoing your segments back to your current station if they're not there now, and ordering them in the order you want. Then you produce your episode. Do not remove them from your current station while you're producing your episode, or ever. If you delete a segment from your current station, no matter when you do it, even if you re-echo it from your archive, it will permanently delete it, not only from your station, not only from your episodes where you put them, but it'll also take it out of your archive. You don't have a permanent archive if you delete the segment from your current station. Remember that. Very critical. Okay? And it's been a known fact since the beginning of time for us old timers here on Anchor on version 2.0. The archive component has been designed initially to make it simple for you to get rid of your quote evidence if you don't want your segment anywhere on Anchor. When you delete it from your current station, takes it out of your archive, takes it out of anyone's stations that have echoed it, gone. Okay, unless, of course, they somehow archived it offline and they saved it somewhere. Now, it's imperative that for those segments that you find important, that you back them up and store them offline. You can take an entire archive and export that archive for that particular day, and it will produce one complete M4A file of all your segments in that particular day's archive, which you then can dissect, edit, and do what you want in an offline editor in something like Audacity or Adobe Premiere, whatever you want to use to do your audio editing. That can go out and you can do that. However, make sure you back up your files before you delete them permanently. And you will delete them permanently if anything in your current station gets removed. It gets removed everywhere, your archive, as well as your episode, as well as anyone that has shared and echoed that segment. Hope that makes sense. If you have questions about this, let me know, because especially for newbies, they're not aware of the consequences of deleting a segment. And then they say, where'd my segment go? Where is it? It's gone. It's gone. Okay. Please remember this. I have episodes about this that I've, you know, put out many times, but I want to reinforce it because it's a critical issue. And I wanted to also draw this distinction between this and removing and editing and deleting episodes, because deleting it from your episodes, as long as you keep it in your current station and it's archived, it won't go away. Just proved it. If you have any questions about it, let me know.
Good morning, Avi. How are you today? I always, when the sky is so blue in New York, I always say we have a beautiful morning here, and today we do. So with all that said, and with using half a minute of the short minute for a call-in, why am I calling in? So I find two places in Anchor which are conflicting or contradicting each other. I actually left a call-in or five to Emmy, I think, the new UX expert on the team. But I want also to run this question or observation by you. So when a segment goes into my archive, or when I create an archive manually, there is a message there which says that once a segment is put into an archive, it's there persistently for my enjoyment to re-listen to it at any point in time. Archive also allows me the function of republishing a segment from my archive into my active station. Okay, that's very promising. I have a location, I have a place where the 24-hour time clock does not apply, and I need another. And I'm led to believe by the statement that my segment, by virtue of becoming a part of the archive, is there to stay persistently and permanently. Now, when I copy a segment from my archive to my active station, and for whatever reason I decide to delete it from my active station, when I do that, the system pops up a very scary, big, large message, which basically says, if you're going to delete this segment, it will be deleted from all the stations which echoed it, as well as next call-in. Yes, I said it. The message says it will be deleted not only from your active station, but also from all stations which have currently echoed it, since it is on my own station under the mercy of the 24-hour time bomb. I understand that it will also, the copies will go away. But the message also says that if I delete the segments from my active station, it will be also deleted from my archives. Huh? Really? Didn't you just tell me a minute ago that my archive as are permanent, persistent? How come they will be deleted from my archive? How come? So I found these two messages to be conflicting and contradicting each other. And I pointed out to Emmy that as a UX expert, she should fix this. A system should not create any stress or ambiguity or question to its user as to its actual behavior, predictable behavior. And I was wondering if you know how the system will actually behave if I do delete it from my active statement. Station, will my archive indeed will be affected by that, which is a scary proposition to me. Thank you, Avi.
Tzvi, as you heard in my previous segments regarding how the actual archive works in conjunction with your current station, you now know that obviously if you remove a segment from your current station, it does get removed from the archive. Now, the design in terms of the UX, that's a different ball game. From my perspective, at least they're giving you the fair warning what's going on. Now, if you prefer them to have a much more verbose notification on the front end, where when you archive, it's not a permanent solution. If you delete from the, you know, they would have to put two paragraphs in there to be able to explain exactly what's going on. And I don't know how that would actually fly in the UX. Ultimately, what we want is a permanent archive, without question. We want the ability to permanently archive and to manually delete from the archive as an election when we want to. But when we archive a segment, it needs to remain in the archive permanently. If we so choose to get rid of a segment or retract it from someone who has echoed it or some other proviso, we have to look and see how best to handle that, because you may want to retract it from an echo without it being permanently deleted from your own station. So they're all issues, but the simplified approach that the team took from the beginning was, if you delete it, the likelihood of you wanting it is minimal. That's not what they finally figured out was the accurate way to deal with it. But now they have to retrofit the approach and figure out how they're going to do this if they change the process. So that's the key. The UX as an afterthought, you know, provided that. Before, the UX didn't even tell you that you were going to delete it from everything. When you deleted it, it deleted it, and people were saying, oh my God, I lost it from my archive. What am I going to do? That's what happened. So I agree to the extent that we need a permanent archive, a place where we can store our segments and search them, be able to retrieve them. We need a searchable archive. We need an archive that we can reorganize so that when we want to reintroduce segments, I'd love to be able to go directly from the archive to the episode without having to reintroduce it to your current station. There's an awful lot that we should have the ability to do that we currently don't. But all in due time, my friend, this is an expanding and ever-growing app. The ideas are always ever-flowing. And it's simply a priority as to how they roll them out and how they organize the requests. But these are requests that have already been made at support.anchor.fm. And they certainly know, the team knows, our particular requests and our interests. And hopefully we'll get to see the fruits of our requests in the very near future and the efforts that the team is making. But I always tip my hat to what they're doing, because they're always working in not only our best interest, but in the interest of the app and overall user base in general. So it's all good stuff. I always appreciate your call. Hopefully I've answered your question, and you now know what your exposure is when you delete a segment from your current station and what happens with episodes and what happens with your archive. Back up. That's the key, my friend. Thanks, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Avi, hello. I have just found out that there is now a top 50. I'm fascinated by this. And then I listened, I went over to you because I thought, well, you'll have a view on this and it'll be interesting to hear what you have to say about this change. And as you were talking about it, you were doing a great job of encouraging everyone to reach out, find new people, get in touch with people who are getting in touch with people who are getting in touch with people on the leaderboard. And I thought, it's very interesting. There's two ways you can deepen your rapport with a smaller number of people, or you can reach out to a greater number. I find it helpful, Avi, to think, what am I up to? Am I getting to know more and more people, or am I deepening the rapport with people? Am I going wider or deeper? And I just wondered about, I find myself wondering, what would Avi say about this? What are your thoughts? They're bound to be, the one thing I know is that they're bound to be fresh. They're bound to sound fresh to me. So if and when you have any time or impulse to say something about this, I would be very interested. Keep well, my friend. Keep well.
Oh, Paul, I love that concept. That might be a new segment for me. What would Avi do? I love the idea. And you know what? My opinion is, as you know, I believe in touching one person. If you can touch one person and affect them in a positive way, you can accomplish great things. So the key to me, for me, is to help as many people as possible. That's my ultimate goal. So if I can reach more people by perhaps going wide, I don't necessarily have to deepen my relationship with specific individuals in that particular use case. However, there is a case for deepening relationships, and I don't think they're mutually exclusive, my friend. I believe you and I have known each other for 2 years. We continually deepen our relationship by interacting. However, we may have casual interaction with new people and affect them in a positive way too. And if it turns out that that relationship starts to build and we have rapport and we want to deepen that, fantastic. However, I don't believe we should limit ourselves to have a handful of deep relationships without exploring the possibility of expanding our reach to new people. You can do both. And as you build and meet new people, you deepen and broaden your horizons. You can meet people all around the world. New people come in with concepts that can help improve your life. It's not just you improving them. They're constantly improving my life just by me knowing them, meeting them. They have particular goals in mind. They have expertise that you may not have come in contact with before. And every individual in my mind is an absolute diamond in the rough. It's a prize for each of us to take advantage of. So without getting on a soapbox and going deep here, my concept here is take advantage of the relationships that you can form in a social media app that's audio-based like Anchor. It is phenomenal. And you don't have to limit yourself. Just when you grab the 10 people or 20 people or 25 people that you love, going back to your law of not knowing more or being able to be intimate with more than 140 so people, the bottom line is, I think you can touch many more people in your lifetime than 140 and be productive in doing that, and they can touch you back and make you a much more fruitful and productive person. Hopefully that answers your question. What would Avi do? Exactly that. Thanks, my friend. Touch one person, make them better, and they'll make you better as a result.
What would Avi do? That's my mantra from now on, since it appeals to you. I have to say that I didn't invent it, in the sense that one of the best books that I read about Google is called What Would Google Do? WWGD. And it's in my office. And I'm trying to remember who wrote it. I think it was somebody called, whose name began with a B. What would Google do? Avi, I'm just having a look for it here. Jeff Jarvis. Jeff Jarvis wrote What Would Google Do? You might find it worth having a look at a bit of it. I don't know. Anyway, so what would... Avi, if we could have a cup of coffee or even a pint over this whole topic, I'd love it.
Washing clean. First, I want to thank you for stopping by the station, listening up. I do appreciate that opportunity to serve you. And I see an excellent opportunity for you, sir, as an entrepreneur, owner of your business, to be able to engage your current clients and interview them using Anchor to add that and augment that to your Anchor broadcast, to get their testimonial in a verbal way where people can relate. Your typical customer, your typical avatar, as you said. And I just listened to your November 18th episode. I wanted to hear your first introduction, your first segment, to get an understanding of where you were. And I think that's extraordinarily valuable. You definitely want to keep that in your episode section so that people can relate to you, that people can understand you. But get some testimonials from your folks, get them recorded, and any new customers, bring them on. And they'll be able to relate to your customer better than you do, my friend. Thanks.
Hey, Avi. Just heard a few minutes ago about Anchor's new contest where they're giving away another $1,000 again this week. But this time, the way I'm interpreting it is that's for new listens. So how is that going to work? Like if one new listen per segment, or if someone listens to your segment and then listens to it again, that doesn't count the second time? I'm just trying to understand it. So let me know if you interpret it differently. Thanks.
Ray, thanks for calling in. And you raise a very interesting question, okay? The rules appear to be just a little bit nebulous, okay? So the concept is, if someone's never listened to your station before, they are considered a new listener. So that's an interesting prospect. How they're actually identifying that is a unique listen is interesting. However, that new listener coming to your station needs to come in from the outside into Anchor. So they're looking to build new members of Anchor and gain listenership and do that through our own invite. So they're giving us an incentive to bring people into the app to listen to us. People we know, people we have connections with from other apps, bring them in, invite them in to listen. But there's no relationship between who invites the new person in and who gets to listen. So if I invite someone in and they listen to you, you're going to get a unique listen. And if someone else is a great recruiter and they bring them in and they identify you in the list as someone that they want to listen to, you'll get a unique listen. So there's incentive for a number of things to happen. Number one, you want to invite new people into the app. Number two, you want to welcome new people into the app that are showing up as new people showing up in the, you know, the newest people showing up in the list. So you want to go in and take a look at those new people. And you want to interact with them. Get them to invite them to listen to you. You and listen to them. Get their favorite. You favorite them. It's going to build community. It's going to build new listenership. It's going to build a larger listener base, bringing new people in from the outside and inviting and interacting with those new people. So it's an incredibly good idea, I think, from both the standpoint of community as well as the idea behind Anchor getting their own to bring more people in. So you have an incentive to do that. More people that come into the app, more people will listen. You'll have a larger audience potential, and you'll have more people to meet. So that's the concept. It's a unique listen, meaning that if they listen to you, all of your segments and all of your episodes, it's not going to count. It's going to be based on the first listen that you have from that person. That's how it'll count. And you can't basically bait the system by getting somebody to listen to your stuff over and over and over again to increase the count. Same thing with applause. You can't get a million applause from one person. The first applaud would count as an applaud. But it's based on unique listens from new people coming into the app. That's what I understand it to be. If anyone interprets that differently, or if the team is hearing me and suggesting that I'm misinterpreting what you're saying, please correct me if I'm wrong, and I look forward to hearing that, because that's the way I understand it. That's the way it makes sense to me. That's the way it sounds like it would work, and it would work effectively. However, I've been known to be wrong.
Dr. Avi, it's your girl, Miss Eileen, and I see you've stepped back into the Anchor segment / episode laboratory. Good work, my friend. Now, here is a question that has been on my mind. Every now and then, you post something and it duplicates. I have posted call-ins that have published two times, like right after one another. I have uploaded things from the web clipper and it was duplicated. Now, this has been in the last couple of weeks. I'm not going back too far in time because we know there's been so many different iterations of the platform. And I've been horribly afraid to delete either one of those. And of course, it's hard to replicate that scenario, but I'm just curious, what do you think? Dr. Avi, bye for now.
My Queen Eileen is here for the day, and I appreciate that so much for the call-in and the question, because, you know, the double posting glitch, my understanding of it is this. Many, many people have a call-in, for example, and they hit the plus sign to add it to their station, and it appears to have not loaded to their station, and they get an error message, failed to post, and what they do is they hit the plus sign again. What does that do? It finally goes through, but now they have two copies. How did that happen? The first one failed. Well, it really didn't. It didn't really fail. And if they would have checked, which I started doing, when I get the failure now, I stop. I don't repost it. I go out and look and see if it got there. And 99 times out of 100, it's already there, even with the error message. So you have to look at that. Now, you brought something to my attention that I was not aware of. And that is, you're getting this happening on the clip tool. Now, if it's happening on the Clipper, there's only one possibility there. Well, no, there's actually two. Did you get an error message that it didn't lift? That's the first question. Because if you got an error message of a failure, because sometimes the Clipper has been failing. And when that happens and you post it again, it may have done the same thing. So you want to check that. First things first. Always check to see. Now, the challenge is if you're scheduling it. You see, if you schedule it like I do, and you normally probably do as well, you schedule that post and it fails on the first attempt, and then you go and do it again, you may get the double whammy, double mint good, right? So it's hard to say. Now, it could also be a back-end glitch, which is very likely as well. It may simply be double posting, and it's no fault of ours. We didn't get any error message at all, and it just flows through twice. I found that caching sometimes does this type of thing. However, it would be interesting to find out. So if you find that it happens again, the thing for us to do is be diligent about what we're doing about it. Are we posting more than once? Are we posting once and it's just happening on its own? Or are we observing anything that would be unusual? If we're posting like we always did, hit it once, goes in twice, that's a back-end issue, and I would report that. I would report that. I wouldn't stand for that, Miss Eileen. Queen Eileen, you deserve better, and you need to let the team know about it. Send an email to support@anchor.fm. Let them know your experience, and they'll investigate it. But what you'll want to do is give them a little more detail because they'll have no idea what you're talking about. You'll have to talk about a specific segment, the time that you posted it, how you posted it, and exactly what transpired. And they may be able to do a server log and see exactly what happened because they can normally trace that based on what the server's writing to the system. So check into it. Let me know what you find out. And yeah, that would be something to do. Now, your concern about deleting the second copy, well, in that particular case, what I do is I rename one of them. You can rename one of them, and it won't rename the other. And if you rename one of them, now you got two different segments. It's interesting the way that works. And you'll note that when you go and you do an archive. So archive it, get the second one in there, and then delete one. And then the other one with the other name will remain, and then you can rename the other one back to what it was. Okay? Try that technique. That normally does the trick. And, you know, experiment with it first. Do it on one that you don't really care whether you delete it or not. And if it's a call-in and you delete it, it goes back into the call-in, so it doesn't matter. Okay? You won't delete a call-in unless you permanently erase it in the call-in log. So hopefully I've answered your question. And if you lifted it from the clip tool, no big deal. You have it on your computer already. And the only other option would be a segment that you recorded. So if that's the case, get it out, save it before you delete it and test it. Let me know. Always like your input. Appreciate it. Hey, and thanks so much for all the stuff you're doing out on theanchorbootcamps.com. It's looking terrific with your videos. And anybody that hasn't checked out anchorbootcamps.com, please get out there. You're going to love that blog because Queen Eileen's videos are being posted in there. I got some stuff in there. Dr. Dan's got stuff in there. Great training. I don't know if you'll have time to check it all out, but please do. You'll love it.
Avi, Dr. Babe here again. So I was testing out the Android feature. I'm an Apple person, an iPhone person for iTunes, but it doesn't seem like my link is working. And so when I looked at the countries available for Google Play, my country is not on the list. Do you think that's obviously why the link is not working, why it's not taking listeners directly to my podcast, the Save Podcast link? And how can I get Google Play to work in the Cayman Islands? Also, why can't I use a direct link to my podcast on the web? It takes it to a specific episode link.
Dr. Babe, Dr. Babe, always coming in with some great questions. As a beginner, you're coming up with some great questions. So you have a unique element involved here. I just checked your Android link, and people that are wondering, what is she talking about? She's on an iOS device. She's trying to play Android audio from Google Play. Well, what she means is she goes out to the web. If you guys go out to the web to your station, and you go to anchor.fm/the name of your station, you will see two links down below your embedded audio from your radio station, okay? And everyone has this. Everyone has a station. If you're broadcasting, it's up there. It's got audio playing. So what you then have from your current segment, of course, from your current station, down below there's two. There's an Apple for the Apple podcast and one for Android. And I believe that's what Dr. Babe is discussing. So she's clicking on that Android link and expecting it to open up Google Play. And if most people in the States, if you do that for anchor.fm/Dr. Babe, D-R-B-A-B-E, you will get the Babecast. And it comes up for me, my dear. It comes up in the States. Now, the question you asked is, how do I have access to it if I'm in the Cayman Islands? And of course, your tech concierge has a solution for you. You'll have to use a VPN. And that VPN will have to be based in the U.S. for access. Now, I do this for clients all around the world. And one of the VPN services that I use is offered up by Norton. And you can find that on my website. If you need help with this, I can remote in. Now, you're going to want to run this through. So you have to actually open the link in the VPN. Now, Norton isn't the only one that's available, but it's very reliable because they don't monitor. There are a lot of free VPNs available. And what is a VPN? It's a virtual private network that allows you to work through a particular server rather than going direct from your country to the website in the States. What you're doing is you're redirecting your connection through a server, and everything that's going out and coming in is coming in through the U.S. server. So you're actually seeing things as if we see it in the States. So I have a client, where is he? He's all the way over in the Orient, and he was prevented from being able to get in to a particular real estate site on this side of the world in the U.S., and we got him on the VPN, and bam, he was up and running in no time. And I installed it remotely for him, so he had no clue how to do any of this. But it's easy. The Norton solution is one that's easy to do. And the challenge for you is you may not even be able to buy a US software product. So what I wind up doing is I remote into your machine. I buy it on my end of the world. And then with your information, I'm then able to remote in and get you set up as if you were traveling from the U.S. to the Cayman Islands, because people from the U.S. that need to get into their U.S. properties would then be able to go in that way and do it. Another solution is a remote solution where you'd remote into a workstation in the States with Go to My PC, Log Me In, something like that, TeamViewer, a way to remote control a machine in the States. So what you're essentially doing is using that remote computer to access, and you'd be listening to your station through that remote computer. So there's a number of ways to skin a cat, but that's your cat problem, okay? So that's what you need to do. And with regard to the other piece, I have about a minute left. I could probably do that. I have an episode on this, but what you want to do is go to my page, not my page, it's our mutual page. It's called anchorbootcamps.com, and you'll see one of my recent posts that talks about how to get episodes embedded and on the screen. And Dr. Dan has done a great job with embeds, but as far as being able to play your entire episodes and not go to particular episode, you're going to need to get people to get into your podcast link. That's the only way to do it. And I show you how to do that to be able to provide the RSS feed as well as link it up through your page. So that's what you do. If you have any additional questions after you heard this, if you need my help, hit me up and I will remote in and help you and get that working for you. If it's important, that's one way to do it. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Avi, you bring up a good point about echoing, and maybe you don't want a segment in your station echoed. And so maybe that's an option that Anchor could look into adding in the future, of setting a segment to only allow it to appear on your station and not allow it to be echoed. Now, of course, there's nothing you can do about somebody, you know, streaming the audio somewhere and recording it that way, but at least within the app, it would be nice to have that feature. It'd be interesting to hear your thoughts on that. And how do you like the sound of these servers around me?
John, thanks for the call. Sounds like you're in one heavy-duty server room, man. You must be eating a lot of juice in that room with all those fans blowing. Oh, man. So, ultimately, restricting your segments from being echoed. You know, there's probably a use case for that. In a public forum such as Anchor, one that's social audio, I don't know that it's the best use case here. Simply because you want to get the most ears on your content as possible. And it's a privilege when someone echoes your content. I would not ever want to restrict any of my stuff from being pushed out to as many different venues as possible. And I honor when anyone does that for me. So, to restrict them from doing it, to have a toggle, ultimately, what are you accomplishing with that? If it's something that's that private, you probably don't want to put it out on your station anyway, because your station, remember, can be heard on the web. Anything that's visible here, and then people can, you know, steal it there, and you're not even going to know who took it until you hear it somewhere, right? So ultimately, privacy, protection of information. If you have copywritten protected material, then you may want to mention that in the actual audio piece, so that if someone were to echo it, you say, you know, this is the private property of so-and-so, John Wilkinson, and any unauthorized use was strictly prohibited, something like that, right? So if that's something you want to accomplish on certain segments, you could do that. And then when somebody echoes it, you have your little tagline going along with it. But in most cases, not necessary. However, there is a special use case for having protected private communication on an app like this. And I can see, just like you have restricted access on a Facebook page, having controls over that would likely be a neat option for certain people. And I don't see any reason why it couldn't or shouldn't be included. It's just my take that for, you know, content that you want to be able to spread as far and wide as you can, you know, preventing an echo from happening would probably not be my cup of tea. However, like I said, it can be done. And, you know, submit it. See if you get some votes on that. There may be a lot of people that would love the idea. And, you know, you could always submit an idea like this at support.anchor.fm. You go on there and describe what you would like to see in the app, explaining that you would like to have restrictions on segments being echoed, and see if people would find that informative and valuable, and vote that up. I'd like to hear what people think about this. So what do you think of John's idea? I don't want you to say anything negative about it, but if you're positive on it, I'd love to hear, because maybe I'm all wet. I want to know. You know, I love conflicting and controversial opinions, and I'll give you mine all day long. Thank you.
Avi, the man, the myth, the legend, the OG of Anchor, one of the originals, buddy. Congratulations, man, on having a successful week. But more importantly, on behalf of myself, the KT listeners around the world just like you, the Anchor Nation Next Gen, I want to say thank you for just being so supportive of my station, buddy. I cannot wait to do that interview whenever we get a chance in the holidays. I'd be gladly accepting it for it. And just keep being you, man. I love your content. Can't wait to go on the next call, 3 o'clock Saturday. Be there or be square. Take it easy. Have it going, man. Thank you, as always. Rock on, brother. Go Eagles.
My man, KT, congratulations. First opportunity on the air that I've had to talk to you. I had the opportunity to talk to you earlier today on the phone, and I just want people to know how great I think you are and how successful I know you are at any endeavor you put your mind to, my friend. And I had no doubt in my mind that you were going to be a leader in this group and you were going to be on top for the week. No question about it. You work so hard, so diligent, so focused on what you do, and that sets the pace for others to follow. You set the example, my friend, as I said on our call on Saturday. And people need to follow success because success leaves clues and you leave clues, and your clues are all laid out in our call that we had on Saturday. For those that missed this call, you don't know what you're missing. You saw KT, a student, freshman in college, lead the pack in terms of listenership, but more importantly, has nothing to do with the fact that he led the pack and that he has listeners. The fact is, this man is the king of engagement. He has the ability to rock any type of situation. He has the intuition to be successful, to meet new people, to lift other people up with him. Remember, the other people that won this contest are all disciples of this man. He's the one that brought them into the business here. And I'm telling you what, he's incredibly gifted at being a people person. And I don't know where he learned it because he's a young guy. Okay, he just came out of high school. He just started college. He must have incredible parents. He must have incredible drive. And he's got the maturity of someone twice his age. So it's absolutely incredible to hear and see his example. And I hope you understand and respect the fact that this guy was working 9 to 10 hours a day during this particular week to make sure that he reached out to enough people to make sure that they were supportive and he was reaching out to them and lifting other people up. That's what's key to this particular gentleman. And KT, I really, truly respect what you're doing. And hopefully you will continue in the strides that you've already established. I have no doubt that you will. And I wish you the best. And use that $1,000 wisely. Make sure that you have some fun with part of it. And put the other part away for a rainy day, brother. Stay well, my friend. And I can't wait to talk to you Saturday. Yes, and we are going to do the interview. You let me know when you're available over the holiday. And we will get that done. Thanks so much, man. Take care.
Avi, hi. I have a technical question just about how the call-in feature works. A couple of weeks ago when I do a call-in, I could publish it. I mean, publish a call-in that came into me. That's what I'm talking about. But I would publish a call-in and it would still remain in my call-in box. Now I notice when I publish call-ins that came into me, they disappear. And I was just wondering, I need to go through my archives to retrieve those again. Some of them seem to have disappeared forever. But I was just curious, did the way Anchor works change in regards to the call-in feature? And I posted this question on my own station. So you can answer it over there if you feel like it, or you can just answer me here and I'll publish your answer on my station. Thank you so much. I wasn't sure which way, what was the best way to do it. So anyway, thank you so much as always for your help. Bye.
Maria, thanks for your question. Just to keep continuity and so that I can keep this in my episodes, I'll answer you here. Plus I can get more than a minute response and I'll probably need that for you. So ultimately, the answer is the call-ins were always supposed to disappear once you published them. That's the way they were designed from the beginning. There was a fluke for a short period of time that was not releasing the call-in from your call-in section. And not everyone had that. Some certain people did, certain people didn't. But ultimately, the call-ins go there. Now, call-ins are supposed to be archived. Call-ins give you tacit approval to be able to include them in your episode so they can be published out to your podcast. So they're valuable from that perspective. However, there is a noticeable lack of continuity in terms of those call-ins remaining in your archive. I have seen them disappear. They're not supposed to disappear. They are supposed to remain there so you can reintroduce them. However, there is no consistency as to how that happens. So, if you want to be sure to maintain any of your segments, it's an excellent idea to archive them outside of Anchor. If they're in your archive, you certainly can. The easiest way is simply to export your archive for that day so you can keep track of all your segments for that day. You can do a manual archive and then export it. You'll get a link to the M4A. You'll be able to download the M4A, and it will include all your segments in that particular day's archive. Not a bad idea. And then you can edit that and clip out the pieces that you want and use them and reuse them, or simply keep them for your archive offline and back them up. That way you have a historical reference of your entire station for the day. Not a bad idea to keep a log that way. And it might be easier for you to keep track of all your segments that way, because they tend to get hidden. And you may want to do a daily export and keep them in a folder and be able to track what was in each day by keeping a little logbook. And that way you can do a search. You can even put that in a Word document or a spreadsheet and do a search on those keywords. Not a bad idea, and could be very effective for you. Right now, your archive is not searchable. Makes it difficult to find old stuff, especially a call-in. You don't necessarily remember what day it came in, and you're looking for it. Doesn't always, call-ins aren't always labeled well. The caller doesn't always take the time to create a caption, so you'll see a lot of untitled call-ins, and now you have to go and listen to it before you can even reintroduce it. Becomes a hassle, and it's time-consuming. So, doing it the other way, you could always lift it back through the clip tool and have the benefit of including it in an episode if you need to. So, these should be all valuable input as to what's going on with the call-ins. Now, one added proviso here. If you delete a call-in that you've already published to your station, it does return to your call-in library, okay? So it'll sit in your call-in drafts until you republish them. The only way they disappear if you didn't want that call-in would be to hit the ellipses next to it and say you want to erase the call-in. Then it goes away. But otherwise, it should stick around, unless it doesn't. Hopefully I've answered your question and you're not more confused than you were when you called in. Have a great night. Thanks for the call.
Avi, hi. I am just calling in response to your confusion on the leaderboard segment here in response to Sheena's question. And yes, it feels good to be in the top 20. And yes, I've been told by many people now that it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really mean anything. But it does mean that if you are speaking to the world through these radio waves, that somebody is listening and there's some indication. I'm not good with all the details and all the algorithms and all that stuff, but it means somebody's paying attention. The only thing though, for me, I feel kind of disappointed and kind of mistrustful going forward, because I was in the top 20 and now I'm not. I'm in like the top 100 or something, and yay for the algorithm to change for that week. But I don't know. It just kind of gives me pause. Now I know for future not to pay too much attention to it. And I will just keep doing my thing. And no matter how hard you try, you can't really trick the system or scramble to get to the top, because the rules keep changing anyway. For me personally, I'm not trying to get to the top. It just happened to be a happy accident. And I love it. And it does make me feel good. You know, much as it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, it does make a person feel good. So that's a benefit to it. And I'm really excited to know about the top 20 now. I didn't know about them before. And so now I can go and look at the top 20, knowing that those are the people that are probably putting out great content, and I can check them out and see if I resonate with them or not. So top 20 is a good place to find people that may be putting out great content. So, and it's okay if I'm not there. I'm trusting that the right ears will get to me. My stuff will get to the right ears, however it needs to get there. So, and I appreciate Anchor for allowing me to be out here on the airwaves. Bye. Avi, I'm calling in response to what you were talking about as far as this new contest this week. And thank you. Thank you for your rational explanation of it. I was starting to feel really disappointed and kind of icky about it, because I don't feel like marketing and I don't feel like going out and getting people. That's not what I do. And what you're talking about makes sense, and I need to get over it, because I need to. I feel like my message is so important to me that I have over the years become more comfortable with putting myself out there more in the social media, because I think there are people out there who may benefit from hearing what I have to say. And so I just have to let that go. But thank you for your perspective, and it makes me feel better about this anchor contest.